All aboard for Dometic. From first-time campers to hardcore outdoor adventurers and everything in between, no matter your experience level, Dometic.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's now time for All Aboard for Dometic, everything you need for adventuring, big or small. And today's guest is Frogley's Pro Angler, Dan Mackerell. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Az. How are things, mate?
Not too bad. Thanks for joining us this morning. And you've been doing a bit of gallivanting around the coast lately and a bit of fishing in my neck of the woods down at Port Phillip Bay. Take us through your last trip.
Yeah. Oh, look, I've just the experience and knowledge of one Aaron Hadgood's been fairly handy, actually. I don't get down there too often, so... I put the call out. I said, mate, give me a time and a place to be. And he gave me GPS coordinates and said, anchor up on this position at this time. And I thought, last trip I went down there, mate, we had 30 squid in an hour. And then jumped onto one of your whiting spots and three on board. We had a bag out, 60 whiting in just over an hour, mate. It was bloody awesome. So appreciate the heads up and probably kudos to what you guys are doing with Salt Guide. I think it's pretty amazing that you guys have got all this up-to-date intel and, yeah, the proof's in the pudding with that one for me, so well done.
Well, with what you just said then, and this is all around the country, as you know, even with your broom fishing you do with your tournaments and whatnot, it's the timing, isn't it? It's not so much as going to a spot, and that's what we're trying to teach people, is not this about what we do, but it's about the importance of being at the right place at the right time, isn't it? And I don't know with what you do with the brim, right time, right spot with your tournament, but I'm sure there's different bite times for brim, like some low light, things like that.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And again, you look at these sort of tidal situations too, like even the small estuaries, they don't have much tidal movement, but it can actually have a really big play on the fish's movements and what they're doing at any given time. So I suppose your knowledge of working with the flood and the dirtier water for whiting, I suppose it all makes a lot of sense. And I suppose when you go down and do it a bit more, it makes more and more sense every time too. So
yeah, well, that's learning every day when you're fishing. And one thing I want to learn is I can't catch a squid to save my life lately. Where were they?
Well, we just launched at St. Leonard's and it was a really nice day, and I was just sort of blown away by how many boats are out, and we just sort of jumped on Google Earth again, found another little grass bed, and we got out there. There's sort of no other boats around, and there's a lot of bait fish sort of flicking around on the surface, and it's probably some of the best squid fishing I've seen. Like, they'll fish high up in the water column in about 4 metres of water, and you could actually spot the squid chasing the bait schools behind it. So it was probably some of the easiest squid fishing and probably the most exciting we've done in a while. You'd sort of put in behind the bait that was getting harassed on the surface and be 4 or 5 squid on the back of it. So
are you not in shock? I know you're not too used to a lot of boats in the water, but it's amazing how many boats are actually on the water, isn't it? Because obviously COVID, people can't travel. Were you in shock coming down to the bay and seeing how many people were actually out? Like, I say it, but to actually see it in yourself, how many boats are out?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of popular spots, but geez, in some of those areas, mate, you can nearly hop from boat to boat. We went down to the bite there at Queenscliff trying to get some squid on the top of the tide there at one stage, and it was just, I don't think you could find 50 metres to yourself. It was unbelievable. So we sort of hightailed out of there and tried to find something a bit quieter. But obviously with the COVID and everything that's gone on this way, then a lot of people are taking advantage of, I suppose, what we've got and the beauty of what we have around our local areas. So it is good to see, but it is very busy.
Take us through the southwest now. It's where you do a lot of your fishing, sort of around that Apollo Bay and obviously in the lakes and whatnot around there. What's been biting and how you been travelling?
Look, it's been really good. I thought, like, the guys down at Apollo Bay are doing really well on the flathead. It's always a bit of a bread and butter species. You pick your weather windows in the mornings when the weather's nice and calm, and you can sort of scoot out anywhere between sort of Blanket Bay and Skeens Creek, and there's been any amount of flathead around in that 25 to 35 metres.
Yep.
The guys sneaking around to the lighthouse in the know have been doing pretty well with some kingfish. There's been a lot of tuna. Sounds like the tuna are pretty well right along the coast. It's actually right from Portland right through to sort of Western Port. Yeah, exactly. So they're very, very well spread. So it's pretty much pick what you want to do and you can really get it done. Like, there's probably one of the things I sort of noticed this year, I'm not sure if it's been in other years, but a lot of the reef fishing at the moment, there's a hell of a lot of nanogai around.
Yep.
The guys are sort of getting out and catching like 10 to a dozen fish. So it's been really good. And a species that sort of turned up this year, probably a bit more prolific than it has in other years. So it's just an interesting one. It's certainly good on the table. So
now, outside the Port Phillip Bay heads here, the tuna are being pricks to catch. They're being extremely hard. Yep. They're only biting in rough weather and whatnot. And when there's no boats, as soon as it's calm, they're just sitting there sunning themselves. Down the southwest, are they doing that?
Yeah, they do that. And it's, look, it is frustrating, but it's also, like, it's pretty, the beauty of that sort of fishing. You can sort of do your best to sort of sneak up on the schools. And when they switch on, as you know, they'll pretty much eat anything. But, geez, it can be frustrating when there's a couple hundred school tuna just sort of swimming around the circle, and it doesn't matter what you show them, they're just not interested. So just the fact that they are so prolific and, well, but, you know, they've got to eat. At some size, they've got to switch on. So if you can work out when that bite window is, or if you're there at the right time, throwing surface lures at tuna is pretty amazing.
Now, inland, you do a lot of that down sort of Peterborough way and whatnot. Yep. Take us through what's going on there.
Yeah, so they're all those systems are fishing pretty well. This time of year is really good. The water warms up. Sort of the bream and perch will sort of push right up into the shallows to feed. So it's a great time to start tying on some surface lures. So if you like that sort of visual fishing, early morning or late in the evening, it's sort of really conducive to those sort of conditions. But they're all fishing very well. You've got the Eyre River, Hopkins, Boggy Creek, all those systems all on the coast there, fishing exceptionally well at the moment.
Any signs of Malloway?
Not so much, actually. It's more, I actually prefer to chase the Malloway when it's a bit cooler and the water's a bit dirtier. So I think most of this time of year, I spend most of my time fishing in less than a metre of water. So
okay.
I don't sort of come across. They'll be there. There's no doubt they're there. But they don't sort of frequent the shallows as much as they do in the winter months. So
Now, you've got right down to Portland, obviously, too. The tuna are going off Julia Percy there, as well as the kingfish. You did mention the kingfish around the shank. Sorry, not down the shank. What's it called? Down the Otway there under the lighthouse. You're fishing the same techniques those guys are doing up there, or are you doing things a little bit different?
I think all techniques work. I think they're probably the most frustrating thing about the Cape Otway Lighthouse and kingfish down there is they seem to always be mixed in with big schools of barracuda. So I think the only friend of the barracuda, the only friend of them is the tackle shop owners. So the guys throwing jigs are donating a lot of corn each day on those. So if you can work out where to catch your slimy mackerel and yakkers, that's probably your best way to target them. Because you're fishing sort of deeper water out there off the lighthouse, they don't seem to get to the surface as much as they do off like your North Shore and those sort of things as well. So it's sort of deep water sort of fishing with your live baits and jigs and soft plastics if you can. And then, yeah, obviously trying to work out and differentiate your schools between the kingfish and barracuda. So,
very good. Well, that's all the news from the southwest. That was Dan Mackerel, Frogley's pro angler, and that was All Aboard.